The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. As he was transfigured before them and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Hello and good morning. I offer up warm wishes to you and your family this Transfiguration Sunday. Today we celebrate the last Sunday of Epiphany and begin to ready our minds, bodies, and spirits for the season of Lent. My name is Kaylee Lasher, and I have the incredible honor of serving St. Andrew's as the Director of Youth Ministries. I would like to thank our rector, Reverend Charlotte, for asking me to share this message with you. As we turn to our scriptures this morning, we read of a young boy named Elisha in the book of 2 Kings. Here, God has called to Elisha's teacher by name. As Elijah is being sent out to the place of Bethel. Preparing for his travels, the student Elisha goes to Elijah and asks his teacher if he may too go with him on his passage. "Stay here," he says, "for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." There, while standing in Elijah's midst, we read these words of the student. "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." The teacher, his guide, and his mentor is telling his student that he simply is not ready yet, and that it is not yet his time. Elisha hears this and disputes him by telling him, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Faithfully, the student stayed by Elijah, unwilling and unable to leave. The next line in scripture literally says, "So the two of them went on." While they were there in Bethel, the locals of spiritual wisdom came to Elisha the boy. They told him that Elijah's time was precious and coming to an end, a fact that this student already knew. We read of a similar conversation happening two more times in our text. Elisha asked to journey with Elijah as he was sent now to Jericho. The student asks, and the teacher tells him no. The young one again refusing to accept this answer. "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them went on. While they were there in Jericho, the wise ones visited with Elisha. They too knew that Elijah's time was precious and coming to an end. This knowledge, already known by the student, asked those of him near to them to keep this testament silent. Elijah, now being sent to the River Jordan, says to his student, "Elijah, Elisha, "Stay here, for I am being sent to the river Jordan." But as he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Now this, the final time as they journey together, we know they did not journey alone, as they traveled with a feet of 50 men. As they arrived at the riverbanks, Elijah takes off his outermost adornment. He rolls it and is binding it tight. It stands tall like a staff. His arms rise, mantle between his hands. They fall with certainty against the Jordan River, parting it from one side to the other through a deep vast of water. Droplet by droplet, they walk on dry land. After they cross, Elijah goes to Elisha and asks what it is he may do for him before his time has finally come. You see, our teacher is a wise man as well, and too knew the plans that the Lord had declared for him. Elijah asks his student, what may I give you? And Elijah's response, "Allow me to know and receive your spirit two times over." "You've asked a hard thing," Elijah responds, "but I'll tell you what. If you see me before you as I am being taken from you, your wish will be granted. And if that is not the case, then you will not." And there, as they are literally walking together, having this conversation, God says yes. Not only does he say yes, but he says so loudly. Horses aflame accompanied a chariot of fire to separate the earth from its heavens. In a massive awakening, a whirlwind appears, and Elijah's body rises as he ascends to heaven. I can only try to imagine the face of the young boy as he's left there standing on the ground. Watching the sky from below, Elisha calls out to his master, "Father, Father, this is what we've been talking about." And equally, when he could no longer see Elijah, he became broken with grief. So much so that the scripture tells us he literally rips the clothes off of his body. In the gospel according to Mark, we are told of Jesus. With three of his closest and most trusted friends, Peter, James, and John, Jesus is taking them on a walk through the mountainside, up high into the clouds, away from anyone and everyone. They climb to the top of this mountain, there without knowledge or preparation, that they are about to stand witness to a great miracle. There, Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could ever bleach them. So bright in sight, no person on earth could make or imagine of this. Dazzling and dancing in the light, an image of our Christ. There, appearing now with him, the prophet Elijah and the prophet Moses stand conversing with Jesus. Stunned and amazed, the men, Peter, James, and John, rush to their feet to honor these three holy ones. Standing mere paces from their sandals, completely terrified, Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In these next few texts, we quite literally read from the voice of God. We know that up until this point, Jesus has been doing some of the amazing things we know Jesus for. Turning water into wine, healing the royal official's son, bringing strength to the sick, calming the sea, and feeding the 5,000 from a poor boy's lunch. Jesus stands here with Moses and Elijah. The six of them are now overcome by a vast storm of clouds arranging overhead. A crack from the sky broke as a great proclamation was shouted. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And in that instant, the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses left from them. And now only there was Jesus. In the amount of time it would take for me to tell you exactly where Athens, Texas is, we could probably drive down there and back, my friends, to most a little East Texas town. But to many, Athens, Texas is the home of Disciples Crossing, my denomination's regionally local church camp. One summer, I worked at Cairo Camp, which was the name we designated for our middle schoolers. After a day of fun, worship, and keynotes, we made our way to the dining hall for dinner. Stopping to get a rock out of my shoe, a student comes running up to meet me. And in a moment, without much notice, I am met with the same ferocity of curiosity in which I once too asked many a question. What's a God moment? Hold on, one more time. What's a God moment? In an instant, I realized I had not entirely answered this question for myself, nevertheless out loud. Two, didn't know what was gonna be the best answer for this student in this time. And three, knew that the dining hall doors were going to meet us and that I needed to have answered our question by the time we got there. I think truly in trying to buy myself some time, I allowed for this student to instead teach me. Whether you call it smart, wise, or resourceful, I asked them what they thought a God moment was. And after a moment's pause, I think God moments are in the little things. I'm gonna say again, because I needed to think about this, and I invite you to do the same. I think God moments are in the little things. In my early years of Christian faith, I actually attended a fundamentalist Southern Baptist church. We'd have these sermons where the pastor spoke about these massive, explicitly life-altering times in Christian history and modern testimony. Then, and only then, in that setting, had I ever heard the term God moment being used. This, as a young person, may these moments and God feel unreachable. And what this seventh grade student said to me, in a place of which I supposedly was the counselor, still speaks to me today. And wherever that student may be now, I think they may still speak toward the core of our readings. In hearing these old texts as the stories that they are, we begin to open ourselves up to a deeper understanding. When we look beyond the words written on ivory pages, what might we hear? Take our Elisha story. We read of a young boy studying and preparing with his teacher. But how would it be that he would be the one that would stand with Elijah as he rose a prophet? This line sung by the student sings of a thousand songs. As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. To say to your teacher and to your God that as long as you are here with me, and as long as my God is with me, then I will never leave. Too, Elisha knew that Elijah's days were counted. Not only did he know and discern this truth, but he upheld the work of the Lord in asking others to wait to share this good news until after the crucifixion. We know and hear of Elijah's steadfast commitment to God and to Elijah. Two more times we hear of the student refusing to leave his teacher. And when God calls, Elisha literally goes running, refusing to do anything else than follow his God. Earlier in the book of Mark, we are told of Jesus calling out to men on a fishing boat. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in an instant, those who were on the boat left and decided to follow Jesus. These are the same men we read that now stand here on this mountain. We know that Peter, James, and John are very close and important to Jesus. These men committed their lives to their Messiah and to his ministry. They stand by Jesus in Mark chapter 5 and witness the miracle of life. They hold his secrets as he's asked. Each one of these stories show and tell us of the lives that demonstrate true faith. That student at that one summer camp that asked me a question on the way to dinner brought me a new perspective on this story. By following Elisha, the student chose to be near and present with his teacher, following wherever he led and wherever he was called. Even when given the choice and told repeatedly to stay, Elisha refused. Traveling distances we will never know how long and how far, to go to places that we may never know. By stepping off of a boat in the middle of a body of water, Peter, James, and Paul opened their lives up to being led by someone larger than themselves. By continuing to share about Christ Jesus in the face of many adversities along their way, they proved their commitments to Jesus. Not only standing by his side, but each individual caring for and supporting Jesus in his ministry. I'm curious to know, would these stories would have become word if Elijah had stayed? What if Peter and Paul had stayed on the boat with their father? What if John stayed in his hometown? Would we know these stories the same? In each of their own ways, according to their calling, these individuals exemplify a living and breathing relationship with God. We are shown that faith is not only a connection with God, and it's not only defined by the big God moments, but instead live out in the practice of listening and being available for when God has his moments. As we prepare for Lent, not only as a community, but individually, may we allow ourselves to be transfixed by the love of our Savior. May we see our sparkly Jesus in places that may not have light. May we, like the prophets and disciples, live out our faith, knowing and recognizing our God in all moments. As the last Sunday of Epiphany, may we take the love and the story of our Christmas time. May we celebrate his ministry and prepare for his ascension. Amen.